So we're in Genesis 1. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs and moda'im, and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. Just like that. Amen. So we were on last week. We left off with SETI, which was the search of extraterrestrial intelligence and all the big dishes that have been set up around the world and all the millions of dollars spent and all the fancy computers that are searching the heavens for a radio signal that would tell us that there's life on other planets. And they are still listening. And the only thing that they've ever picked up is one song, The Sound of Silence. That's Stan's joke from last week. But yes, not a peep. And this has been going on for 50 years now or something like this. And they've never gotten one radio signal. And radio signals go forever. They never stop. And so it's the first thing that a civilization would come up with if it becomes advanced as we did. And remember, the interesting point was, though, that they didn't ever think that any civilization would last very long, because once they get the technology to destroy themselves, it is assumed that they would. And this is what I thought was, they were assuming that other cultures would also be full of sin nature like we are, which was quite a leap, I thought, for atheists. So, like I said, there needs to be some repentance. Because of the controversial point I'll make today, and what this is going to be is a commentary on a possibility. A commentary on a possibility. In other words, you cannot ever talk about this to anybody else. And I shouldn't even talk about it. But you know me, I'm crazy, and I believe in letting the glory go to Hashem, the glory of God. Psalm 19. 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. And this is what we're going to talk about. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is nowhere that this speak and knowledge is not heard. Their voices goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. What kind of deal is this? We have the heavens declaring and speaking and teaching. Now, that is... impossible, right? I think it's speaking more of just how glorious the sky is when you're up backpacking up at Timberline and you have no moon and you look out and you see so many stars. But here the word tells us that the heavens are speaking and teaching, and there is nowhere that it isn't heard. So are these, as I just read, there are signs in the heavens? What is the signs in the heavens? And that's the first thing that is in the order of the creation of the heavens, is and their signs. And then the second is the moda'im. And the third is the calendar, for the calendar. But what this word is, and don't stone me, but this is just going to be for fun. It's the Maserot. If you know Hebrew, the Maserot, you know it as the zodiac. Okay? Now we're not going to go to astrology here, or the stars telling your future or your fate. That is called sin. Okay? And I've told Christians before, you can't not be reading the horoscope in your newspaper. That is sin. Okay? And a lot of Christians don't know that's sin. How could it be a sin if it's in the newspaper every day? But that is darkness and sin. But it is amazing at the same time that these groups of stars throughout history are all known and carried through history by mostly the same ideas and names and explanations of the names in all the cultures from ancient times. It is amazing. And now, you know, there's countless stars in the skies. And you also know from Isaiah 40:26 that every one of them has a name. Isaiah says that God named every one of those little lights. I mean, would you like to have that dictionary to look through when you're wanting to name your baby? Hundreds of billions of names, right? So, and actually the word zodiac comes from zodi, which means the way. The way. Now, just disregard everything I say today. Now, some Christian teachers say it's exactly the same thing as in the book of Acts, the way, which was the gospel, right? The people of the gospel. Now, there's 12 classical clusters of stars on the ecliptic. And you know what the ecliptic is? Is in the Milky Way galaxy. It's like a ring. And most of the stars are in the ring, and then there's fewer stars on the ends. It's like Saturn's rings. Our Milky Way galaxy is kind of like that. And that's why you see a Milky Way, because that's the ecliptic. And then it's thinner outside of that. But anyway, there's this ecliptic, and there's 12 classical clusters of stars, like we know, that have names and pictures. Okay? And also the axis of the earth, how it tilts up and down, and that's just how we get our seasons, and the equinoxes and the solstices are all based on the tilt of the earth as it goes around the sun. But everybody sees the ecliptic. Now, not everybody would see the ends, but if these 12 clusters are on the ecliptic, so everybody in the world sees them. And so remember in our verse, it's saying that the whole world sees and that these stars teach and speak and that they have words. Okay, so that's where we're going to try to go here. But the four seasons, you got to love the fact that the earth has seasons, because Colorado has the best ones in the world. Oh, man. But these 12 groups of stars all have names, and this is the Maserot. And I'll just throw this out also as we go through here quickly, because we're short on time. Some Bible teachers say that they're also linked to the 12 tribes of Israel, of course. And then also there's, and you can get the book on the internet, on how they are prophetic for Israel's history, which I have never read up on that stuff, but and I'm not going to go there. But what I'm going to go to is the gospel. So now, you've all seen star charts with the pictures around the constellations, and they draw these little lines, and it makes it look like something. And I never got into that stuff, and I still ain't, and I ain't going to. But I always thought that these are the stupidest lines in the world, because there's a whole bunch of stars there, and they're going to draw some lines between certain ones and try to come up with something. I mean, give me a blooming break. I mean, have you ever heard of art class? This stuff is nonsense, that these stars make pictures. And they never did. See, that's not why you have pictures with the constellations. And a lot of people don't know this, but the stars don't make the pictures. And even there's one of them that looks like a W, and it's a woman chained to a chair holding an ear of corn. Can you say modern art? Stupid. Nonsense. Okay? So where do these pictures come from that we all have seen in the books? It comes from the names of the stars themselves in order of their brightness. So when you get the 12 pictures, it's because of the names that the stars have in that constellation in order of their brightness from the brightest to the dimmest. And this makes a mnemonic. You pick up all the meanings of these stars and you make a picture so you can remember the names and their meanings. You know what a mnemonic is? It's a picture game to help you remember. And so the names of the stars is where these pictures come from, not because they make a picture in the sky. That would be ridiculous. Now, many scholars believe the names of the Maserot were taught by Adam and Enoch, because God taught Adam the names of the stars, some of them. Probably couldn't do all billion of them, but I have learned them all. No. And Adam and Enoch, they taught their kids the plan of redemption as a mnemonic from the stars that are speaking and teaching from creation. So now we can return where we started. The heavens declare his glory, and they speak, teach to the whole earth. And so what is the message in the heavens? If you're going to follow this line of thought, which is just a commentary on a possibility, remember today. Okay? It starts with, the first one is Virgo. And its brightest star is Alpha, but in Hebrew they call it the Tzamek. You know Tzamek, the branch. And the Arabic is also branch, but in Egypt it's called the seed, and also the Alpha is considered an ear of corn by the Babylonians, which is a bunch of seeds. Okay, so it's interesting that there are many words in Hebrew that get translated branch, but only Tzamek refers always to Mashiach in Tanakh. We also know the Netzer, but Netzer can be branch in other ways. Only Tzamek only refers to Messiah and nothing else. But if you look at the Virgo picture and the woman is holding a branch in one hand and a bunch of grain in the other, and that's the first picture of the Maserot, or the constellations that were put in the sky to the glory of God. So you have a woman holding a branch with a ear of corn or some wheat or something like that. And so we all know from the Bible, we can get the message from that. What is the beginning of the gospel in your Bible? The proto-evangel. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. This is the origin of the gospel. The first place the gospel is in your Bible. The seed of the woman. So here we have in the first Virgo picture here, we have the woman and we have the seeds and we have the branch, which is the stump of Jesse, the Mashiach, the Savior. So it's just something to think about. And of course, we know that the woman by Isaiah 7:14 is the Alma, which is the word for virgin. Isaiah 7:14, right? So, and in John 12, unless the grain or the seeds fall on into the ground and die, it produces no harvest. Yeshua talking about himself, he has to die. Okay, so you have the whole death, burial, resurrection, and the whole gospel picture in the first picture there, if you want to think about it that way. So the whole plan in the first constellation picture. And not because of a group of stars looks like a woman, but because of the names of the stars and what they mean. Okay, so we're just moving along here quickly so we can get to Oneg and get done with this. Let's go fast now. We need to go through here just for a possibility of things, a commentary on a possibility. Libra, the scales, has star names that mean price is deficient, and price, which comes in Arabic, it means to purchase and redemption. So in some of the names of the stars we only know today because of the Arabs, because they were the ones that were into this sort of thing the most from Babylon, where Daniel and his boys, remember, what are the three wise men? They were astrologers. They were into the stars a lot. And then they all got saved by Daniel. But anyway, some of the names of these stars are only known in Arabic today and Babylonian, stuff like that. Some in Hebrew. But anyway, the point of the second one is that someone is deficient and somebody else has to pay the price. Does that sound like anything you know about? And also the price of the conflict associated with Libra. And in the Libra association, you have the cross, the Southern Cross. You all know that. That's associated with Libra. And the victim slain, and there's also a lamb in the picture. Okay, so because every one of the 12 have what is called deacons, which is the ones that are connected to. So you have 12 plus 2 added to each one, which I don't care about any of that stuff, but I'm just going through this teaching. And you can get this teaching. Bullinger has the best work on it, which is on prophecy watchers. You can go to their website and get the book on the gospel and the stars, these sort of things. I read it about 20 years ago, never looked at it since. Can't find it in my library either. I don't know what happened. But anyway, Chuck Missler is also teaching that currently, this program. So it's not just me. It's well-known Bible teachers that pick up on this. And why do they want to do this? Because nobody wants to give the glory to the devil. They're in the skies to the glory of God. So how is this going to be true then? See, if you're going to say the constellations are to glorify the devil, then they were put up there by God. So we'll get into that here in a second if I have time. I'm going to just say the name of the 12 and then their meanings of what is associated with it, because otherwise it'll take too long, okay? But one of the ones is my favorite one is the picture of the guy wrestling with the serpent, the snake, and the serpent is biting his heel, and the other foot is on the serpent's head. Now, does that have a message to anybody here? That's back to Genesis 3:15. But anyway, the first one is Virgo. It has three associations: the seed of the woman, the branch, but also there is the deacon is a man of double nature. A man, a human, but double nature. Isn't that interesting? But a man of double nature is Messiah because he's God and man, both fully, both sides. And in humiliation and in harvesting is the rest of that picture. Libra, the second one, price to be paid, cross to be endured, the victim slain, the crown purchased. Scorpio, the conflict, the serpent, the coils, the struggle, and the destruction of evil. The fourth one is Sagittarius, the double-natured one triumphing. He gladdens the heavens, builds fires for punishment, and casts down the dragon. Capricorn, life out of death, the arrow of God pierced and failing, but springing up again into abundant life. Aquarius, water of life from on high, drinking the heavenly food, carrying the good news, bearing the cross over the earth. We're halfway through. Anybody picking up on anything? Pisces, multiplication of redeemed people. Rule of the Lamb, the bridegroom exalted. Arius, lamb found worthy, bride set free and prepared, Satan bound, the breaker triumphing. Peretz. 9, Tarsus by Ford. Just seeing if you're awake. Who drives a Tarsus here? See, there needs to be more repentance. Taurus means the ruler comes, river of judgment, ruling shepherd. Gemini, the marriage of the lamb to every... the enemy trodden, the prince in glory, his princely followers. Number 11 is Cancer, the possession secured. And here's one for you under Cancer, which gets me in a lot of trouble these days. There is a lesser fold and a greater fold, and then they're folded together into an eternal kingdom. This is what the stars under Cancer represent, their names represent. So there is a lesser fold and a greater fold. And when I was studying this recently under Missler's stuff, he goes, and what is the greater fold referring to? And what is the lesser fold referring to? And he goes, the greater fold is Israel. The lesser fold is the church. But then they're folded together into an eternal kingdom. And I've been teaching, remember, that the center of God's plan, the Copernicus thing, is Israel is the center and the church is associated with it. But it is the church is not the center of the plan. The Israeli kingdom is. And this is what gets me in trouble. But anyway, it's the church in Israel folded together into an eternal kingdom. Glory. Hallelujah. So now this is fun because we're at the end, number 12. And the 12th, of course, would be the climax of the story if you were going to say it's a story. And what is Leo? He's the lion, right? What does that sound like? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The brightest star is his Regulus, which means treading underfoot. The rest of them are as the judge comes, the judge reigns. Hydra is the fleeing serpent. Crater is the cup of the wrath of fire of God. And the serpent's carcass is devoured. That's how the 12th one ends. So it's interesting here. If you go through this, it starts with Genesis 3:15, and it ends with the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is Revelation chapter 4. So it goes from the start of the Bible to the end of the Bible in that order. So it's interesting and fun stuff to look at, but remember, you cannot repeat that you heard any of this. Or there'll be a judgment that's not coming from God. But is it the gospel in the skies? See, is it? And I'm saying this is a commentary on a possibility. But another guy wrote a book on this during the Civil War. I forget who that is, but on the internet I found about six people that teach this sort of thing that you can buy their books. And so this is not astrology, which comes from the zodiac telling you your future and your destiny and all this garbage. Remember, that is sin. Sorcery type garbage. But there's just too much here with the names of these stars to write it off as being a coincidence or being something that would glorify Hasatan. So this is why I like to present this, is because I know and you know and I have taught many times, the devil cannot create. He could not create. He can corrupt, counterfeit. And so it starts out with Adam seeing the gospel in the skies, maybe, possibility, and the devil coming along and counterfeiting and corrupting the message of the stars to all the earth, their words teaching the gospel. Now, so do you think that God placed and named all these stars to declare his glory? See, it would seem so. And so why give the devil credit for it? And if we knew more of the names, it would help. But we have this much to tell us that this is a possibility that God has the stars teaching, speaking the gospel. So back to chapter 1, verse 14, the stars are put there as signs. And signs are messengers. And so this may be the message from creation. And God's greatest creation is not the creation itself, but the salvation, redemption of man is the greatest of all creations. And that's why it is called a new creation when man becomes redeemed. And that is by the gospel. So, and when we get to chapter 11, we might find out and look at how was this and when was this corrupted, the message in the stars, if it is true. What happened? When did it go bad? What is in chapter 11? Nimrod, Tower of Babel, stars. After the flood, Nimrod is the devil express to the rest of the world, clear to today. And so it may have become corrupted and used for demonic purposes at that time. So we're done with that. Praise the Lord. But let's give God the credit and not let the devil have any. The stars preach the gospel. Glory to God. So the next part of 1:14 here, and it's amazing how these things happen so often in our teachings here, but we are to the Moda'im. The order of events that the stars were put in the sky is to separate the day and the night, four signs, which the gospel separates light from darkness. So it's almost the same thing. One natural, one spiritual. And then the next thing is for the Moda'im, which are the appointed times or the holy days of the Bible, God's holy days. That's the third reason that there's stars and the moon and the sun all are up there for that, and that's the order of events. And then the fourth reason they're up there is for the calendar, so you know what day of the week it is, so you know what is going on. And then the last one is to give light. What NASA would say would be the first one, we say is the last one, right? Okay, but the Moda'im is where we're at and where we'll leave off today. and the Moda'im are the appointed festivals. And here, what do we have in 2 weeks? We have the first one, the Feast of Trumpets, as a holy day, right? We have Yom Teruah, and it is the one holy day that starts with the new moon. All the rest of them are set off the full moon. But the new moon is the one coming up on October 2nd. And so it is called the one that no man knows the day or the hour, and it represents the rapture, and we will have fun talking about that. It starts 2017, really, starts on October 2nd, if you want to do the Jewish calendar. 2017, and it may also be the Jubilee, because they start counting for the Jubilee when the Jews entered the land. When did the Jews start entering the land? 1917, Balfour Declaration was canceled by the infamous white papers. But because of Chaim Weizmann, we had the Balfour Declaration, which allowed Jews to return to the land in 1917. 50 years later, a Jubilee we had, let's see, what's that add to? Oh yeah, 1967, we had Jerusalem with the Jubilee. Now if you add 50 years to that, oh, let's see, where do we come to now? 2017. So it may be a special year, it may be the Jubilee, it may be a special year like that. And I used to tell people 20, 30 years ago, watch 2017, it's going to be a special year. And they go, oh God, no, we can't wait that long. God forbid he would wait that long to return. And here we are. And I'm still backpacking. But then also, if you want to, I got to stop. Just for fun, though, if Adam to Avraham is 2,000 years, and Avraham to Yeshua is 2,000 years, and Yeshua to now is 2,000 years, and then you have the seventh 1,000-year period is the millennium. Well, Yeshua came and died like in A.D. 30, 32, 33. Nobody can determine it exactly. But anyway, in 15 years, it'll be 2032. And don't say it again. Oh, God, no, I can't wait that long. But 15 years, I'll still be backpacking. But then you back up for the 70th week of Daniel 7 years, and that would be 8 years from now. And you'd have the start of the Daniel 70th week, see? And so it's really kind of fun to be in these days and to be hooked up with Israel, how it is, and how me and Mike were talking about how blessed we are. We were so blessed we almost felt guilty. Almost. You know, we're the Jews, they got the best of Judaism. But the church has Mashiach and the Holy Spirit. And then there's you guys. You got the best of Israeli Judaism and Mashiach and the Holy Spirit. Because see, most of the church is Romanized, Hellenized, Westernized, paganized. They don't have the Israeli part. And so they're out here blooming with their arms cut off, as it were. And so then you have the Jews, all of our good Jewish friends, Jerry and Ari and Chaim and all our friends over here. They got all the best foundational God stuff in the universe because they're Israeli Jewish thing right there, and God's a Jew, right? Don't you feel awful that you got the best of both? Now, they're going to come to Messiah at the end of the 70th week of Daniel as a nation. And at that time, the church will become Israeli. But you've gotten ahead. I just don't know about you guys. You are awfully blessed. Yavarekaka Adonai v'yishmereka. Yair Adonai panavaleka v'kunaka yiso Adonai panavaleka. V'yoseim leka shalom b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach sara shalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Amen, amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.